Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see you tonight on this very cold, rainy day. I don't know if the sun's going to shine again. I think it will, but I just can't tell. But thank the Lord. I appreciate you that are so faithful to the house of God. Amen. And living for God. And that's what I think about this church is you allow me to preach without fear and without favor to enhance your walk with God. I challenge you every time I get up here. Every time. To live a better life. And hopefully it's like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So that if I follow Christ, you can follow Christ. But if I don't follow him, I cannot expect you to do what I do not do. So tonight, after thinking, you get older, you start reminiscing. You start going back. You start thinking back through the years and the childhood and all those things. I told Jerry the other day, I got fewer years left than I've already lived now. So I got to kind of make the best of the days I got left because your health's not always going to be good as mine is now. And I can tell I'm getting a little older. Now, you can't tell by looking at me, but... You know, but I was thinking, you know, if here I've been in, you know, had the Holy Ghost for 40, almost 47 years, long time, and seen lots of things, heard lots of things, seen things come and seen them go, seen people come. I've seen preachers come and I've seen preachers go. I've seen song leaders come. I've seen them go. I've seen them rise and I've seen them fall. And I've been to one church and I've been to another, and you have too. But I was thinking, you know, it today, knowing what I know today and being through what I've been through, if I was looking for another church, that'd be a great sermon to preach. If I was looking for another church, I would not be looking for the one that can hoorah with me when I'm happy. I would not be looking for one that danced with me when I had the victory. I would be looking for those, can you pray with me 1 hour? Can you be with me when I need you? Can you be with me till I get to my cross? Will you still be standing when I got nails in my hands? That's the kind of church, that's the kind of man I'd be looking for. In my earlier years, that wasn't what I was perhaps looking for. But when you've been through a few things, you start looking at things different, and you look at people different, and you look at leadership different. You even view God different. The Bible says that even Jesus learned obedience. How? Through the things he suffered. So I thank God for everything I've been through. I thank God I'm still here while others have fallen. I'm still here. And I plan on being here and living for God till the day he comes and gets me. I made up my mind a long time ago. Come what may, I'm going to serve the Lord. So I want to teach you a subject tonight that is for some of you. I wish everybody was here on Tuesday night. There's some people that... when I prepare a sermon, I thank y'all. Y'all can go ahead and be seated. When I prepare a sermon, I don't think about people. I don't think about, well, they're going to get out of this, you know. I don't think like that. It doesn't even cross my mind. Now, sometimes when I'm preaching, you know, I see people that are sitting out there, and sometimes I know where it's going because I'm speaking it, and I can see you. But when I prepare it, I don't. And many times, when I prepare things and I get here, I go, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. I wish so-and-so could hear this. And so when you miss the Word of God, you may have missed that sermon that turned your life around or that understanding that enlightens you to something. So I challenge people, when you miss a service, you ought, if this is God's Word, you ought to want to know what you missed. You ought to want to find out, Lord, what did I miss out of this? Now, that's just me talking. You do what you want to do. Let's stand so I don't go too long tonight. I do have a good bit to give you in a short amount of time. 1 Corinthians 13:1, very familiar scripture, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have now become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, meaning my sound is worthless. It's worthless. It has no harmony. It's not fruitful. though I speak with tongues, he's not condemning it, he's condoning it. But though you can speak with tongues, he said, of men and of angels, and you don't have the love of God, it's useless. And though I have the gift of prophecy, C-Y, not S-Y, C-Y, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, I can pray for the sick and they can recover, so that I could remove mountains and have not this thing called charity, I am a zero. I am nothing. See, those are things that makes us think we're great. You speak in tongues, you prophecy, I know mysteries, I got great faith. Those are things that build us up. And he said, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, meaning the ultimate sacrifice in this life, and have not the love of God or charity, it profiteth me nothing. So I want to talk about this subject, though I speak with tongues. Though I speak with tongues. God, I need a fresh anointing tonight for fresh ears that want to understand your word and apply it to their lives. Help us, Lord, to understand what Paul was writing to the church and understand, Lord, what the old patriarchs said and apply it to our lives in the 21st century so we can live a better life in serving you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. A person's tongue is a very important thing, and James said it's like a fire. It's just, man, you with the same tongue, it can be bitter words or it can be loving words. It's just out of that tongue. But a tongue is used to articulate someone's speech, so that speech is something that does division. It does division. Because it divides the things desired from the things that are not desired. Things are divided by the tongue. So that I can say, if I say, bring me, and I don't tell you what to bring me, then, but if I say, bring me that those Kleenexes, it divides it from everything else. You know exactly what I want. The tongue divides things so we can get right to the point of what we're saying. So if a person cannot use his tongue, it's his speech, he doesn't really have speech, and it's very difficult to divide what he wants from what he doesn't want. That's why many times when you hear a baby talk, you don't know what they want. They just are babbling. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of a man's heart, his tongue will let you know what he's thinking. He'll speak. So things are divided by your tongue. And the first division you'll ever find in the Bible occurs because somebody said something. Genesis 1 and 3 said, and God said. God articulated some words, and through the tongue of his word, he said, let there be light. Man, that was a dividing thing. His tongue, what he said, began to do a division, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. How did he do it? With a knife, with a wand, or he said hocus pocus? No, his tongue or his word, he divided right and wrong, good and evil, light and darkness. So the first division that was ever done in our world was done through speaking. And now when you read further about creation, you will see that in creation, everything was created after its own kind. And it wasn't really, as I've been studying this, I realized it wasn't really, the oxen had hooves, and so the bear had a paw, and so you go here because you have a hoof and you have a paw, or you have spots and you don't. No, they were divided by their tongue. Yeah, so the things that when he haw, said, I know that, and they gathered with the other things that went hee-haw. And the things that went nay gathered with the things that went nay. And the things that went nay, they gathered by their tongue, not by their color, nor their creed, or their gender, but by their tongue, so that everything that went quack, quack, quack together. If they whistled, they whistled together. So the bird you heard whistling, he's talking to another bird just like him. And so all those things that have a tongue will group together. I will tell you, if there is a gossiper in the church, he will find the other gossiper in the church. There's no doubt about it. If there's a liar in the church, he'll find the other liar in the church. And they'll share lies. And they'll lie to each other. So all the animals communicate with their tongue to each other so they can understand each other. So the division really occurred by the tongue. So that we will discover in Genesis chapter 10 that even in Noah's day, he had three sons. You read in chapter 10, they were divided into families and nations by their tongues. By their tongues, by their speech. They were divided up. But you go on to Genesis chapter 11, and you will find that nations came together, and they all had the same tongue. And they came together, and God said, I'm going to divide them. Now, how am I going to divide them? I'm going to confuse their tongue. I'm going to confound their language so that they cannot build what they say they're going to build, because now they all have the same tongue and the same mind, and that whatever they imagine to do, they speak it and it can be done. He said, I'm going to stop that and I will divide them with their tongue. So they left off to build. And guess what? Everyone that could say, Hakuna Matata, they found someone else who could say, Hakuna Matata. Oh, I understand that. Let's go together. That means let's go. No, Hakuna Matata means it's all okay, right? Oh, well, whatever it means. Yeah. So what they all found who they could understand. It was the separation was not by color, by creed, by sex. It was by the tongue. And they found the one they could communicate with, and they formed other nations and other families and other nationalities, if you will, not based upon those things of color, creed, and such as that, but by the tongue. The same thing is true today. We are really not separated by color, creed, gender, or things like that. We are separated by the tongue. That's what divides us. That's why I stay in America and don't go to China. They don't understand what's up. Yeah, what's that? Who that? Where y'all at? They don't understand that. And in this little project I'm working on right now, it's a man from China, and he lives in America, and he talks kind of broken English, but I can actually understand him better than I do most people, because people that learn our language say it more, they don't have these slurs. You know, they say more precisely the words. And so I can understand him real well. But, you know, I only speak English and a little Cajun, you know, but I speak English, and he spoke only Chinese, our tongues would divide us. But what brought us together was the ability to speak the same tongue. And so what we will discover is what Babel scattered, Pentecost will gather. So when he scattered them in at Babel, they were confused by this. And in Pentecost, we will discover he drew them together because every man heard them speaking in their own tongue. And they said, what meaneth this? So Babel is a confusing. Now, I looked the word up and it says a confusing mixture of words or voices that are not understood. And that's why we say a baby babbles. And many times when you have a little baby and they'll blah, 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 blah. And you'll go, is this what you want? Blah. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Is this what you want? Blah. And we used to turn to David. David was a little older than Melanie. But he was kind of in that stage he could understand the babbling and speak to us too. So he was our interpreter and say, what's Melanie want? Oh, she wants this. Say, Melanie, is this what you want? Blah. He could understand what she was babbling. And so Babel is just confusion. And so I want to bring this into the church so that we understand that we can have Babel. And Paul talks to us about that. But the first day, let's read in Acts chapter 2, very familiar for all of us. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. That's similar to the Tower of Babel, isn't it? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit. Now, as the Spirit, that's important. It is the Spirit that gave the utterance. That lets me know there's some other things that can give the utterance. That's not the capital Spirit. So when they got full of the Holy Ghost, when you get something, when you say, you ever filled up your gas tank? If you ever really filled it up, it comes out. If you really fill something up, you buy a Coke and it looks full, but there's still about this much left. It's not full. But if you fill it up, it'll come out. If you really fill it up. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they got so full of it, it came out. God began to speak through them. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under the heaven. Now, I pause right here just to quickly inject this. And they asked Jesus on the mountain, they said, when shall these things be? He said, when all nations have been preached the gospel, then these things can come about. They're right here. People are looking for that to still happen. It happened right here. Because the Bible says, and dwell in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation, under heaven. They all heard Peter's message that day. Every nation heard what he had to say. So if you're waiting for every nation to hear, Lord, how long do you have to wait? I mean, there's every medium there is out there to hear the word of God. Now, when this was noised abroad, what was going on, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in their own language. So they were confounded like they were on the day of Babel, but it drew them together because they said, you don't know what, how do you know, you Galilean, how do you know that? And they realized that this was God's doings and not man's. Now, when we read in Acts chapter 10, there were many Jews, including the Apostle Peter, that did not believe that the Gentiles could receive the Holy Ghost. And what separated them was not merely the Spirit of God, it was the tongue. It was the tongue. The Jews did not believe that the Gentiles could receive the Holy Ghost unless they heard them speak with tongues. So what we have here is a believing unbeliever. So that's what we have. We have a believing, and I'm going to show you this to be so, a believing unbeliever. They have received the Holy Ghost. They have spoken in tongues, but they say, well, I don't know if you got it because I didn't hear you speak in tongues. And so the Jews and Peter were really leerious that anybody could receive the Holy Ghost. And they didn't believe that the Gentiles could get what the Jews got. And so they just were believing they'd received it, but they didn't believe you could get it. And so God sends this apostle Peter. He talks to Cornelius. We don't have time to read all this in chapter 10. But he gets them together to where he goes to the house of Cornelius. And he says, when you go, take men with you and doubt nothing. Because you're going over there doubting that they can get it. But doubt nothing. And so he goes over there and to preach that I understand now that God is not a respecter of persons and he can fill anybody with his Spirit. And the Bible says that while Peter yet spake these words, he's speaking about the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection, while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. As it did on the day of Pentecost, it fell on all of them that heard the word. The whole house of Cornelius began to be filled like Peter was and the apostles and 120 on the day of Pentecost. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? For they heard them. They heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized which receive the Holy Ghost such as we? And he commanded them to be baptized. How? In the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So that this is according to the scripture. They received the Holy Ghost, which was the promise of the Father. And they, on the day of Pentecost, spoke in tongues. But these Jews were doubting that anybody else could believe it. And the proof was that they heard them speak with tongues. So what divided the Jews from the Gentiles was not that they did not believe on the Son of God, not that they did not believe in Jesus Christ, but they did not hear them speak with tongues. Are you seeing this? Because when they heard them speak with tongues, they said, oh, yeah, that, now we brothers. You got the same thing we got. But until then, they said, we're divided by tongues. But when they spoke in tongues, they said, you're one of us. And they included them in the number. So what brought the disciples of John the Baptist into the fold with Paul? You remember John the Baptist preached remission of sins and baptized under the remission of sins. And so now Christ has died. He's resurrected. He sent back the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and people are receiving it, and they're speaking in tongues. But John still had some disciples that were walking around believing in John's baptism and in John's way of belief, but had never received the Holy Ghost. So you look at Acts chapter 19 and 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he comes to Ephesus and finds certain disciples, John's disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So if believing was all that it takes, then leave them alone, Paul. If that's all they needed to believe, they believe, so leave them alone. But he said unto them, what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Well, he said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, not unto John's baptism, but unto the disciples' baptism in Jesus' name. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, so Paul was not content with what they had received. It was not enough. So he says, we want you to follow what we have received. And so when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now I'm going deeper, so stay with me. Because so far, all the tongues that I've spoken about in the New Testament were concerning receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, in the New Testament, you will see